Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Quick reminder, I want to invite you to a debate I'll be moderating tomorrow night on the proper role of government, one of the most timely topics, obviously, considering what's going on in Washington right now. This is between the head of the liberal think tank Demos and the conservative Ayn Rand Institute. This is a free public event tomorrow night at 6 o'clock at the Skirball Center at NYU, and the tickets are free, but you do have to RSVP. So go to our politics website, itsafreecountry.org, and register if you want to come be in the audience for that debate on the role of government tomorrow night between Demos and Ayn Rand. Also, while you're there, we have a 20-question role of government poll, and it's been generating really interesting responses. Register your answers and tell us about the role of government according to you at itsafreecountry.org, and hope to see you there tomorrow night. Now, all the debate over public employees' pensions has been leaving out the vast majority of the American workforce, people in the private sector, for whom the defined benefit pension, a monthly check for life from the company, is pretty much a thing of the past, as opposed to 401ks, mostly your own savings. And it's not enough. Knight Kiplinger, editor-in-chief of Kiplinger's Personal Finance magazine, as well as the Kiplinger Letter and Kiplinger.com, has a proposal to fix the problem, mandatory 401ks. You know, we talked recently on the show with E.S. Browning at the Wall Street Journal. They did a study that showed people nearing retirement age have saved way too little money in their 401ks. But under the Kiplinger plan, no more expecting everyone to save for retirement. Now you would be required to, and your employer would be required to help. He joins us now. Knight, welcome to WNYC. Thank you for coming on.
Nice to be with you, Brian.
Explain your plan. How would it work? Who would have to take part?
Well, as you point out, an estimated 40% of all private sector workers, less than half, don't have access to a 401k plan where they work. And even among those who do have a 401k plan at work, about one-third of them are not using them. They're not making a contribution. And tax-deferred savings, 401ks, 403bs, and an IRA, which anybody can have, whether their employer sponsors it or not, these tax-deferred savings accounts are really a marvelous thing. Everybody should be taking advantage of setting aside a little bit of their current earnings towards their future security, but so few people are. There are a lot of proposals out there to improve this. They range from a very modest plan for automatic employee enrollment in a 401k plan, and many companies don't automatically enroll their employees, to some totally new system that would be run by the government or a nonprofit. And as a matter of fact, the Demos think tank that you mentioned earlier proposes really a much broader government-run or nonprofit-run 401k plan. I'm not going there. I don't want the government to run it. I don't want a second Social Security system with money going to the government and being paid out immediately to current beneficiaries. I want a real private sector investment plan. I simply want the government to require everybody to set aside some of their current income, not take it from them, but set it aside for their own future financial security. And I want every employer to do the same. It could be as little as, say, 3% of one's earnings going in from the employee, with an employer match of that same 3% of the employee's earnings. It would be a real investment plan. Social Security is a revolving door plan in which current tax revenues going into Social Security go right out in current benefits to retirees. It's not an investment plan. This would be an investment plan. The money would go into investments of your choice, a fairly narrow range of probably index funds, index stock funds, index bond funds, exchange-traded funds.
So that they are relatively conservative?
Relatively conservative. Now, we understand that every investment entails risk. I like the concept of life cycle investing, in which an investor's percentage of bonds and cash is roughly equal to their age. So a 50-year-old who is 15 years from retirement would be 50% in bonds or cash and CDs and 50% in stock index funds, not individual stocks, not individual issues, but a broad stock index fund representing, say, the S&P 500, large American companies, or even a global index fund investing in overseas companies. So it would take all of the benefits of the 401k and make them mandatory. The government's not running it, but the government is checking that you are making these contributions and your employer is also on your behalf, on behalf of your future financial security.
Listeners, do you like this idea? And what would your suggestions be for making sure that workers in the private sector have enough to retire with? It's easy to be angry at public sector workers for getting better retirement benefits than you do. But what does the private sector need? Call us up, 212-433-WNYC. We have one of the Knights of Personal Finance, Knight Kiplinger from Kiplinger's Personal Finance, with his proposal to require it of all employees and the contribution by all employers, which is much more rare at the moment for their 401ks. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692 if you want to get in on this conversation. Knight, in a recent Wall Street Journal editorial, they were looking at the history of this. Why don't we have defined benefit pensions anymore in the private sector? Why is it almost entirely 401k case? And they look back to 1974 when there was a bill in Congress to do to require a better job of reporting unfunded pension liabilities. And this gets kind of technical, but, you know, companies were going to have to keep better track of their pension funds and report more accurately on what was in them. And they were advocating this public employee Pension Transparency Act, or a Private Employee Pension Transparency Act, I guess, and that companies, well, rather than comply with this requirement, they said, well, forget it. I'm just going to end my pension plan altogether and set something up where the employees have to start contributing on their own. Is that the history as you understand it?
Well, that's part of the history, Brian. With a defined benefit pension plan, a company is promising their future retirees a set amount of money each month, and the company had to choose a mix of investments in their pension plans to guarantee that monthly amount to their future retirees, regardless of the investment performance of the pension plan. And the problem was all of the risk was on the employer. None was on the employee. All the risk was on the employer to contribute to the pension plan enough money to make sure that 20 or 30 or 40 years from now, that plan would be generating enough income to pay all those promised benefits. Now, we know that in the public sector, these are unfunded benefits. Public sector pension plans don't have a pot of money that's been invested. It is a promise from future taxpayers to future retirees that that monthly amount will be met. In the private sector, there actually has to be an investment return, an appreciation in the corpus of the pension plan to make that income stream possible. Because of volatility in the stock market, a big drop in 1987 and another one in 2001 and 2, and then another big drop in 2008, a lot of private sector pension plans don't have enough money to make possible those future payments. That's why a lot of private sector plans are being frozen, they're being suspended, or they're being liquidated, and the funds are being distributed to the future pensioners. Because a lot of corporations say we can't possibly set aside enough money from our current revenues, our current profits,
right. But how
to
do
make
we,
good on those promises.
How do we look at that? Is this not a race to the bottom as employers found they could get away with shifting the pension burden more to the employees? I even noticed an article from 2004, forgive me for this, where your company, Kiplinger's, used to offer a defined benefit plan, and then you switched to 401ks.
We still have a defined benefit pension plan. We have several hundred retirees who receive this pension payment each month. We still have the plan. It is still in existence. We closed it to new hires a few years ago and substituted a very rich, very generous 401k plan instead of that. As you know, we are publishers. We're in the media industry. The publishing industry is one of the most troubled and embattled, beleaguered industries of all sectors in America today. It is very difficult to do right by both current employees with their benefits and compensation, and also promise very lucrative benefits to future retirees. So like many companies faced with this unknown future risk that a defined contribution, or rather a defined benefit pension plan entails, we went to a 401k, and we made our 401k a model with a high employee contribution, not even a match. We contribute to our employees' 401k whether or not they defer any of their income.
What percentage?
Themselves.
What percentage?
We contribute to it.
What percentage?
Right now it's 3%. And it's automatic contribution. Our employer contribution is fully vested. Many employer contributions require that you stay with a company 4 years, 5 years, 6 years to get the employer contribution back when you leave. Our employer contribution of 3% is vested automatically if an employee is with us just 1 year.
And that's part of your proposal for all employers, is that once
exactly.
they make this mandatory match into an employee's retirement fund, that belongs to the employee, since people change jobs so much in this economy, right?
That's right. It would be fully portable, and portability is an important part of any retirement security
All right.
plan.
Let's take some phone calls. And again, my guest is Knight Kiplinger, the editor-in-chief of Kiplinger's Personal Finance, with his proposal to require employees but also employers to contribute to 401k retirement plans, because the real crisis in America for retirement savings is not in the public sector but in the private sector. Jan in Westchester, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jan.
Hi. First of all, I think that he has a great idea, but I don't think it goes far enough because not enough people are on payrolls. You know, if you're going to tie somebody's retirement to having a job with an employer, you're missing a lot of people, including most of the people who work for FedEx.
Right. That's a great point, that more and more employers, as you know, Knight, aren't even putting people on payroll at all. They're putting together, you know, teams of temps on a project basis or this kind of thing. Would your proposal cover them in any way?
That's a very good point. I would hope that these people are maxing out on their individual retirement accounts up to $5,000 a year, which they may put in. Also, self-employed people, independent contractors, freelancers, have a special kind of retirement account for self-employed people. It's not a 401k. It is a SEP IRA. There are a variety of tax-deferred savings accounts just for the self-employed, but our caller is quite correct that that my proposal would be limited to those who have an employer-based 401k.
Nick in Cliffside Park wants to push back on this whole idea. Hi, Nick. You're on the air.
Hi. From my perspective, the whole concept of any kind of privatization of Social Security is an abomination and a con job. The simple fact is there's been plenty of money in there. They've always taken it out of the lockbox in all the states and the federal government and basically you take the money and use it as revenue to allow for tax
right.
giveaway.
Now, you realize this is not in place of Social Security. This is in addition.
But the thing, what we really need is higher Social Security withdrawals so that everybody has a defined pension benefit, and we all benefit from the whole economy doing better. That gives an incentive for everybody to grow. What this gentleman is proposing is a way of diverting trillions of dollars out of the economy to the brokers who they're like the house in a casino. They get a percentage, win or lose, they get their cut. This is all about them making money off of our labor. They get a piece of the action, win or lose. They're taking no risk. They're brokers.
Nick, I'm gonna leave it there, but he makes an important point. When we went from defined benefit pensions to 401ks, nobody won bigger in that system than Wall Street because they get to broker all these funds. I think implied in his question is, why not just beef up the Social Security system so it's more money in and more money out, and we don't have to do this private thing in addition?
Well, that's an interesting point. Brian, you did respond correctly a moment ago that my proposal has nothing to do with Social Security. It proposes no modification of Social Security, no partial privatizing of Social Security. We're not talking about playing with the 6% that employees and employers now pay into Social Security. This is supplemental to Social Security, and the Social Security debate is an entirely other issue altogether. Social Security was never intended to be the sole source of retirement security for the American people. It was always supposed to be supplemental to something else.
And I get that. But if we're going to do something, Nick is suggesting, why not just beef up Social Security so it's a stronger leg rather than require these contributions that get laundered through Wall Street and they take their cut, which wind up with less money in the pockets of the retired employees eventually?
Yeah, I don't think that the less than 1% management fees and administrative fees that most index funds levy, actually a fraction of 1%, 0.2 or 0.3%, is an excessive fee for the financial services industry. By favoring index funds, which have very, very low management fees, you would keep the administrative cost of such a program relatively low and still a very good deal for the investor.
We're just about out of time, but on the politics of this, because you're proposing that the government require this revival of the private retirement savings system, requiring employees and requiring employers to contribute, but you wrote honestly that you expected libertarians to balk at this. Why is it the government's job to step in and make the proverbial grasshoppers into proverbial ants, if people remember the Aesop's fable where, you know, those who don't plan will be a burden on the rest of us? Who are the grasshoppers and who are the ants among us? Is it the government's job to make the grasshoppers into the ants?
You know, as a society, we have decided that we are going to have a compassionate safety net for the grasshoppers who did not do enough for themselves. There are a lot of civil libertarians who say, I'm self-reliant, I will never be a burden on my family and friends and government, and yet when that time of need comes, they often change their tune. And even if they don't, their friends, their government, their community will want to step in and help them. The essence of self-reliance is to take care of your future needs, and I think that a strong nudge from the government would help all of us be more self-reliant and help ourselves.
We asked on our Facebook page, are you an ant or are you a grasshopper of our listeners? And here's one of the posts we got from Desdemona. What's the point of being an ant? Wall Street will just screw up the financial system again, leaving us with worthless 401ks for all our hard work. Might as well be a grasshopper and enjoy.
Well, that's a very good expression of the hedonistic lifestyle. And I wish that
or lack of faith in the system to actually, you know, have the money do what all this index investing is supposed to do.
Well, you know, after a period of great volatility and a stock market swoon such as we experienced in 08 and 09, I can understand people's cynicism about stock market investing, but the long-term record of investing in equities and in quality bonds, and I love bonds, shows a strong record of growth in wealth, growth in appreciation over many, many years. I can understand the cynicism that people would feel right now, but the empirical record is very much in favor of long-term investing.
All right. Well, all you ants and grasshoppers, you can keep answering that question on our Facebook page or on our website. We thank Knight Kiplinger, the editor-in-chief of Kiplinger's Personal Finance, for sharing his proposal to require employee and employer contributions to 401ks. Listeners, this is just kind of a tease of something that we're going to be doing all next week. We're going to be focusing on the crisis in public and private pensions as a five-part series on next week's Brian Lehrer Show. Knight Kiplinger, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. More to come.